this year. But through everything, God brought us. He brought us. And for that, we are extremely grateful. In commemoration of that, if it is the Lord's will and we live this Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we want to honor God for bringing us through another year. Yeah. And I would like to ask that if nobody is here to honor God, First Baptist should be here to honor God. There's a song that we're going to do now. As we do praise and worship, praise and worship is going to be a little different today. It's going to be one where we just ask you to think, to meditate on the words of this song that you all are so familiar with. It is, the name of the song is O Holy Night. And it's a song that was composed in 1847 by Adolphe Adam in France. And he really composed it as a poem. He came up with the music as God inspired him to do so. And it was originally set to a French poem entitled Cantique de Noël. He devised the music, and the lyrics were then written by Placide Capello as a Christian poem in 1857. This French piece was translated into English by John Sullivan DeWitt. It's a song that focuses on three verses that focus on three scriptures. The first verse focuses on Revelation 22 and 16 that actually talks about how Jesus is the morning star. The second verse focuses on Hebrews 4:16, and this one focuses more on how he has lived for us, how he has taught us, how he is our example. The third verse actually comes from John 13:31-34, which deals with him teaching us that if you are my disciples, then I'm asking you to love one another as I have loved you. The song is not only beautiful, it has scriptural meaning. And so that's one of the things that I wanted you to hear and think about today as we do the song. Sing if you feel like singing with it, and if not, just listen to the words and let the words sink into your spirit. The one thing that is right about this song historically is that Jesus was born what we would call night in the Jewish time period. It wasn't night where it's dark, but in the Jewish chronology, from sunset to sun up was considered the evening and night. Had different watches of the night. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, I'm right. I asked Lizette because she was the one that first started teaching me about Jewish chronology and about the days. So historically, when you go to other books of the scripture, it says that he was born at a time that actually they were able to go get the midwife because Mary was about to give birth. So they were able to travel and get the midwife to come and help with the birth. And in helping with the birth, when the midwife got there, Jesus had already arrived. Historical texts say that when he came into the world, time stopped. Historical texts say that when he came into the world, the birds froze in mid-flight. Everything on earth stopped exactly where it was. When the midwife got there, they only explained that Mary was pregnant and there was this huge burst of light. And when they looked up and the light had faded, Jesus was there. The midwife then came. I don't know. Y'all interested in any of this? The midwife then came to check and found that the baby Jesus had come. And when the midwife got there, she was amazed at the fact that Mary's hymen was still intact. Are y'all hearing me? It was truly a miraculous birth. Her hymen was kept intact so that she would not be put away by her husband. Because when the husband was supposed to come to his wife, he was supposed to come to her as a virgin, which is why it's called the virgin birth. Hello, y'all with me? Which is why it's called the virgin birth. She was a virgin before and after.
time would have to stop when the creator of time stepped into time. And so that was part of the miracle about when he was born. The placenta was kept by Mary. All of these things that people been hiding from us, but that we as teachers and pastors are supposed to dig out in order to educate God's people. So what am I saying? When individuals say that, he was born just like Muhammad. He was born. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He is the only begotten Son of God. So I'm going to invite Minister Lynn Wilson. To come to the microphone. And she is going to sing this song along with the choir in the background as we meditate on the miracle of Jesus.
To love one another.
His name. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Thank you, choir. Good job. Good job. Good job. And I also want to give God some praise for our exceptional accompaniment by Minister Charlotte McFarland.
Good morning to you all, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Elder Bonner, for the preaching and teaching and reminding us. We've heard about it throughout years and growing up, but just to comprehend that special birth, unlike any other birth, God wants us to remember, acknowledge, recognize, and learn. So we thank God for this another opportunity. To come before his presence and realizing that if it had not been God on our side, he came into the world as an infant, but he's God right now. He's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we thank God as now we prepare to go into our communion service. We simply ask that you reflect on the unconditional, undeserved favor of the Lord. Nobody could have done it. Nobody would have done it. man might sacrifice for someone that's doing good, but to lay down his life for someone that's doing bad. We thank you, Lord. The scripture says, who has believed in, trusted in, relied on, and adhered to our message, and to whom has the arm, the infinite power of the Lord been revealed? He, the servant of God, grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majesty, splendor, that we would look at him, nor handsome appearance that we would be attracted to him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief. God knew and God knows what we're going through.
Can you hear?
And he goes on to say, and like one whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we did not appreciate his worth or esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God's word for God's people. And then when he sat in the upper room with his disciples, he take the bread, broke it, blessed it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together. And in the like manner, he took the cup and blessed the cup, saying, this is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you drink this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again. Let us drink together. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. Ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in at this time. As we have another opportunity to come before the throne of grace. Here we extend the invitation for corporate praise and corporate worship this period, but you can come forward toward the altar or just stand in the pews where you are and This we do for our awesome God. We don't worry about who's looking at us, because he's looking at us. He's searching the minds and the heart of those that he calls his people. And he asks a question: if there's one whom will praise me, is there one who will lift up holy hands? Is there one who will call on my name? Lord, I don't feel that I need to try and talk to you any kind of way. I simply pour out my humility, my humbleness before you. I bow down in humble submission to you, Lord. Accept our praise and our gratitude, Lord. That's all we have. And Lord, if you will help us to obey you, to walk in your commandments, Lord, we don't know what to ask you for. You've given us everything that we need. And that's a promise, dear Lord. You promised us that. And you're true and faithful to your word. Your seed is never begging for bread. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for the health that you provide in this physical body. We thank you, dear Lord, that you are a mind regulator when we are confused. We thank you, Lord, that you can bring together, bind together, join together broken families all over the world. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that when it all comes down to it, you rule kings, presidents. You are the authority. Lord, I ask that you would simply look upon each and that's not only this flock, but that's all of your creation. For you never are away from us. You're right here with us. Lord, we thank you for those that you continue to comfort, those that are sick, afflicted in the nursing homes. Lord, I pray that your spirit of comfort will continue to rest and rule and abide in their lives. When doctors have given up or confused, you are the great physician. And Lord, we can testify, this is not what we hear, this is what we experience, Lord. Thank you for binding us so ever close in the relationship with you. It's special, Lord, my relationship with you and you relate, and our relationship with us. It's special, Lord. It's personal, Lord. When we simply look back over our lives and reflect that when we called on your name, nobody did us like Jesus did us. And he blessed us without a word. Thank you, Lord. We ask now, Lord, if you would search our hearts, our minds, Lord, that if there be anything contrary to your will for us, dear Lord, remove it. Your will be done in our lives. Strengthen us and bless us as only you can. And we will give you glory, honor, and praise all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ain't no problem in praising him now if you know what he's done for you. Ain't no harm in praising him. And y'all know he's been good, hasn't he? That's why, as far as we're concerned, Jesus is the only choice. If y'all allow me to go back to my hometown and go back to my neighborhood, ain't now other choice but Jesus. We're about to sing says, I made up my mind that I only choose Jesus. Hey.
And I'm committed. I didn't came this far. I'm standing. Come on, clap your hands. Yeah. Tenors, help me call his name. Come on and call his name, Jesus. Altos, altos, help me call his name, Jesus. Are y'all out there? I can't hear y'all. Altos, call his name. Sopranos, choir, help me sing his name, Jesus. All right, y'all know it now. Everybody out there, come on, sing his name with us. Jesus. Take it up, 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 take it up. His name is Jesus. Jesus. There's only one choice. There's only one choice. How many of y'all know he's the only choice? There's only one choice. He's the only one, he's the only one, Jesus. There's only one choice. There's only one. Give God some praise for the choir. And I'm going to say this while they can hear it. One of the things I want you to understand, they learning a lot of new music. They learning it quickly. They putting a lot of work into it. They working throughout the week. I appreciate it. And that's why I told them, no, you got to keep doing this. In order for us to get better, we got to get better. We got to get better. So I think they're doing a fantastic job. Y'all give God some praise for the choir.
Yeah, it didn't quite go like I planned it. I had planned for some of y'all to break out in the electric slide. In fact, I thought we was going to have a soul train line going through here. But y'all will get it after a while. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Look, now I know some people told me when they hear music like this, they don't know how to act. No, I'm serious. Say, we don't know how to act. Because so many times we've been told to sit down, shut up. Now I'm telling y'all right now, when y'all hear something like this, you hit your feet. And you act like you in Club 24. Y'all hear me out there? And if nothing else, y'all do it too. And you know the choir encourages y'all, but y'all got to encourage the choir. Amen. Amen. And somebody going to have to encourage me sooner or later. 1 John 3, 1 John 4. What we want to do now is talk about why Jesus came. There are a lot of conflicting messages about what he came for. I'm of the opinion, if you want to know why he came, let him tell you. Okay? 1 John 3. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. I'm going to make it real easy today. 1 John 3 and 1 John 4. Beginning at verse number 1, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, and bestowed on us, that we, not everybody, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Do not think it strange when people start treating you funny. Don't be in your feelings and tripping. What did I do? Nothing. Well, why they change? Maybe it's because the spirit in them don't like the spirit in you. And one of the things that we have to learn is to be comfortable being unliked. You don't let someone else's opinion of you dictate your opinion about yourself. And you don't let someone else's opinion of you have enough power
to influence how you live your day. Jesus said, if they didn't like me, y'all hear me? Let's keep reading verse 2. Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed and made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, let me say, by the way, he is coming, we shall, as God's children, for we shall see him just as he really is. And everyone who has this hope resting on him cleanses, purifies himself just as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, guiltless. Hello? If your hope is to be like him, you stay away from stuff that ain't like him. You ain't got to be at every party. I ain't say don't go to no parties. I said you ain't got to be at every one. And just because you invited don't mean you got to go. Hello. You ain't come to my, I'm mad at Brother Lampkin because he ain't come to my party. Well, it wasn't enough other people there for y'all to have a good time. When it says purify yourself, stay away from things that could defile you. Let me take it a step further. Stay away from people who could defile you. How many of y'all figured out right now some of your friends ain't your friends? Just because you've been knowing somebody all your life, that don't make them your, no, it's just you've known them a long time. That's it. Well, we grew up together. Fine. The Lord been knowing Satan longer than you knew him. You have got to make the decision. If there are certain weaknesses that I have, a friend would not pull me into something that could tempt me. A friend would not do anything that could possibly cause my hurt. Now, somebody who say, oh, you acting funny, you ain't gonna go with me, that ain't. You know I can't go with you to Deacon Frank's. You know how much weed they gonna be smoking over. Y'all know I'm just playing. Y'all know. Y'all know. I'm just playing, y'all. I'm just playing. I don't want y'all to go out here. That's why he be all happy all the time. It's the environment. Now, don't let nobody fool you by saying, but Jesus went everywhere. Jesus went to evangelize. He didn't go to hang out.
And you need to know your limitations. That's why the Bible says you're going to have to keep yourself pure. And ain't no shame in having weaknesses. Hello? Stop trying to be super somebody. You ain't from Krypton. Stop trying to impress other people who actually don't care. You know what's dangerous for you. You know what's tempting to you. Stay away from it. That's why God gave you temptations, so you can learn restraint. Hello, y'all hear me? So you can learn restraint. All right, come on, keep reading, y'all. Verse number four. Everyone who commits and practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. Did you see practices? Yes. Now, what it said by practices doesn't mean that you ain't trying to get rid of something. Practices means, yeah, I'm doing it, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Y'all hear? That's different than, Lord, I don't know why I'm doing it. Stop me from doing it. Y'all here with me? And he'll do it. I remember when I was such a bad smoker, and I had to ask the Lord, I can't quit this. I can't quit it. Don't know how I got hooked on it in the first place, but I sure can't quit it. Now, for me, I'm not saying this happens for everybody. For me, I just came clean. I said, Lord, look, I know I need to stop, but I can't. I can't. And one day, I smoked a cigarette, and it made me sick to my stomach. It made me sick. I figured I ate something bad. So I threw that pack away. Went and got me another pack. And figured, now this gonna be, you know, I'm back on track. Smoked it, got sicker. So after a while, and some counsel with some spiritual elders. The question was, isn't that what you asked for? Using myself as an example for that and drinking, because I was a bad alcoholic. I was a bad alcoholic. I mean, I'm the kind of alcoholic in the winter. When I'd be at school, I'd be in my room, wouldn't go to classes. In there with my rum 151. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you know, alcohol is a depressant. So I'd get sad, put on some Lenny Williams. And I'd be singing with Lenny, and I'd cry. I cried.
sit in there, have my own pity party. But I wasn't going to let that liquor go. One day, I ain't saying that will happen for you. I'm telling you what happened to me. And I'm telling you that because, what do you say? What do you say? I'm telling you. Oh, Bro Kibble say, I'm glad he straightened you out. You know what I'm saying? I am too. But what am I telling you here? I'm telling you this, and one of the reasons I'm telling you this, Sister Cargill and I used to talk about this in Sunday school class and other things like that. Individuals would tell me when I first came to this congregation, don't be telling people your stuff, what you did bad. How you gonna know God can do something unless you're looking at an example? And these things I'm telling you, I ain't telling you what I heard. Okay? And so, those babies are so cute. They are so cute. They are so cute, all three of them. They just cute. They just cute. Hey, man. I just like to look at them. They just grinning. They smile. Look at them. So the thing to understand is, I'm telling you this because this is one of the reasons why Jesus came. Listen to what he said in the Gospel of John. He came, his name was Yeshua. Because the name Yeshua means he shall save his people from their sins. Let's keep reading. All right, verse number 5. You know, here we go, pay attention. You know that he appeared in what? And became what?
Man.
To take away upon himself sins. Not to make you rich. He came to take away you from a pure relationship with him. Are y'all reading this? Verse 6, no one who abides in him and who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits or practices sin. No one who habitually sins, that means you're doing it and you don't care, has either seen or known him. They have not recognized him. They haven't perceived him. They have not understood him. Nor have they had an experiential acquaintance with him. I don't care how they shout. I don't care how they holler. I don't care how many scriptures they done memorize. When God ain't convicting you, that's when you need to worry. Let me say that again. When God is not convicting you, that's when you need to worry. And everybody in here got a bunch of stuff God is working on.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
He came to take away sins. He came to take away sins. All right. I did five. Let's go to the next chapter, 4. 1 John 4. Number 1, verse 1. All right. Got a little musical interlude. Sound like a little cha-cha-cha music over there, don't it? 1 John 4, verse number 1. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit. Y'all ever familiar with people who do something and then they say, the Spirit told me? Yeah. Now, I don't have a problem, and I believe you, when you say, the Spirit told you. But the question is, what? What Spirit? But look what it says. Prove, test the spirits. Y'all hear?
Yes.
To discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. By this you may know, perceive, recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ the Messiah actually has become man and has come in the flesh is of God, has God for its source. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but will annul, destroy, sever, disunite him. Now that's theoretically as well as practically. How theoretically? You saying he was just a man, but he wasn't God. So you are disuniting him from his divinity. Then it talks about things practically. Whenever you're trying to sow discord in the church, you are disuniting his body. Okay, keep reading. It's not of God. It said, this spirit is not of God and does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming. And now, it is what? Already. What do we tell all the time? Everything that look Christian ain't Christian. Now understand the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, Sister Cook, it's not going to come with horns. It ain't going to come in a red suit. Ain't going to come in a tail. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit who assumes the guise of Christ, but is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I can't sneak up on you if I look like a wolf. Y'all here with me?
Yeah.
Keep reading, y'all. Verse 6. I don't even know where I am no more. Y'all tell me where I am. For little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated him. Not say you will. Why do I need to stomp my foot on the devil's head if I've already defeated him? Jesus did that for you. Keep reading. And look what it says. You have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Let me stop right here because it says comma, which means pause. So I'm going to pause here and tell you this. Anything that comes against you, you have already defeated before you met it. Is anybody listening to me in here? Jesus just sent it to you to reinforce the fact that no weapon but when it comes up to you, you already beat it. Which is why you ain't got to be scared of it. Are y'all hearing me? That's why you ain't got to be scared. You all, and look, I don't care how you feel. Alcoholism came into my life so God could show me you already beat it. Drugs came into my life so God could show you already beat it. All of these things came into my life, and the worst thing was my heart. Worst thing was my heart, my narcissism. My egomaniacal nature. Now, I know ain't none of y'all ever suffered from none of that. It was all about me, what I wanted, when I wanted it, and I was at a point where I didn't mind using people to get it. Don't be all the woo me. Y'all hollering about, woo, y'all been like that. Hello? Hey, you hear that, Mike? I said that, woo, woo. The one thing, and I'm telling you, that's why the Bible says once you've been saved, you can be honest about yourself. And the Lord has just continually changed me from that. I wasn't fit to be no pastor. I wouldn't have cared nothing about y'all. I wish somebody, I'm going to tell the truth. Okay? No! Say, pastor, she in the hospital. She'll be all right. Yeah, that's the best place for her. I am not a doctor. I got things to do. And I'll give that old remedy. I'll keep you in my prayers. I wasn't fit. I wouldn't have cared. I wouldn't have cared. It ain't affecting me. And all this time with a dirty heart, I was a junior deacon. I was a junior usher. I was leading devotion. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Oh, yeah, we could throw it out there now. Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about them Dr. Watts, do you? Yeah, we throw them out there. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. All right now. Lord, he heard. and pitied every groan and pitied. Y'all know it? Free. Long as I live while trouble rise. Long. Come on, help me, y'all. As I live while trouble hasten to his throne. I'll hasten to his throne. Yeah. Oh. Oh, y'all shouldn't have showed me. Y'all know it now. Y'all shouldn't have showed me. Y'all know it now. That's when we didn't have church. We had church. I can see them old mothers on the front row clicking them heels in them white dresses. Couldn't nobody get worship started like them mothers now. Thank y'all so very kindly. Let's go read. We got two more verses. Verse number 5, we are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God by what? Observation and what? Experience. Okay, let's try those two words again because y'all sound asleep. By what?
Observation.
And what?
Experience.
And look, and to get and what? Ever clearer knowledge of him listens to us. That's what you're doing. Progressively. Learning more about him. Progressively learning more about your relationship with him. That's what happens when he saves you from your sins. Are y'all with me? Last part in this verse right here, verse number 12. Okay, no, verse number 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest and displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might what? In this is love. Not that we loved God. Are y'all here with me? But that he loved us. Look, and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for what? You noticed in these two verses, and that's all I'm going to read for today, but you notice in these two verses,
You cannot talk about the gospel without talking about sin. In no verse we read did it say something about your comfort. Did it say anything about riches? It said he came to save us from our sins. Y'all here with me?
Yes.
Saving you from your sins means he's cleaning you up day by day. Don't be ashamed of where you are. Just thank him for where you're not. All right, bow your heads. God, our Father, we thank you so much for being our Savior. Not only saving us from condemnation, not only saving us from destruction and damnation, but Lord, we're learning now that you're saving us from ourselves. And that's what it means when it says, for me to live now is Christ. The old man has been crucified. Jesus is growing in us, through us. Accept the growth. Accept the fact that he will finish what he started. Accept the fact that if he's working on you and you know it, that lets you know that he loves you. It's not just providing food for you. It's not just providing a house for you. It's not just providing other things that you need in order to survive. Because the Bible says he does that for the evil as well. What's special about us is that he's saving us from our sins and giving us the courage to look at them, to admit them, to confess them, and then to watch him release us from them. There might be somebody here who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, say, now, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Continue to cleanse me. Continue to mold me. And if there's someone who wants to join this fellowship, at the end of a service, right in front of you, in the slot of the pew in front of you, there are cards. Feel free to take one, fill it out front and back, and on your way out of the vestibule, place it in that wooden box that looks like a cross, and there will be saints from the membership intake team who will get in touch with you and who will welcome you into this body of believers. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, blameless, before God's presence, and who's going to do it with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Everybody tell God hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Put your hands together, give God some praise. You are dismissed.